In the days when Christ Jesus was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. The text goes on to say that Christ experienced obedience from what he suffered. In the gospel today, we have Jesus kind of expressing some of this struggle that he experiences. Now, as God, he cannot suffer, but as man, he can. And he, like you and I, had a revulsion for that suffering. He had a wish that he would not have to suffer. Jesus willingly went to the cross because the world must know that I love the Father. But he, like you and I, when he thought of the sufferings that lay ahead of him, struggled mightily to accept what lay ahead of him. In this gospel today, there are many ways that Christ experiences this struggle. Not a struggle that says he doesn't want to do his Father's will, but just that human revulsion that we all have to suffering. Anybody like to suffer? All right, now that's good. Otherwise, I'm going to have to say that we need to talk to the doctor. But again, we have here a natural aversion to suffering. And yet, the Lord, all throughout the Gospels, points to the cross. And he says, really, this in the end is your salvation. If you are willing to take up a cross and follow me. So the Lord says to us that whether or not we like it, suffering will surely be part of our life. You might as well say amen. We all know it is. I might ask you to ponder, just before we get into the meat of the text today, just to ponder in a way, where would you be today if it had not been for your crosses? Haven't we grown? Haven't we learned a lot about ourselves and our capacities through what we've suffered? So the Lord is not saying something to us that's insane, but something that we really do know. But it's a hard saying. Amen? Now today, therefore, I want to speak to you today about five hard truths that will set you free. Five hard truths that will set us free. And they're all in this gospel. Now, I want to give credit where it is due. What I'm about to share with you, I've talked to you in Bible study before, those of you who come, about a theologian named Richard Rohr, and he has written a book some years ago, and that's where I've drawn these five hard truths that will set you free. I've drawn them from that source. So, the first hard truth is this. Life is hard. Life is hard. I want to read from the scripture in a minute, but you know, one of the struggles I think we all have is a kind of a childlike tendency that when things don't go our way, we don't get it just the way we want it and the way we want it, when we want it, we start to get, you know, just resentful and we're angry, or we pout. Now, I may be exaggerating, but just a little. And part of the thing in life, and again, the reason why these truths set us free is that one of the things the Lord wants to do is he just wants us to be sober about the kind of world we're living in and the situation that we're facing. He does point us to a heavenly glory, but for now, he just needs us to understand Adam and Eve lost paradise. Are you clear we're not in paradise? And there's a great beauty in the world, and there are joys to be had. You might as well say amen. But there's also struggles and difficulties. And the Lord never told us that it would be anything else. After Adam and Eve left the Garden of Eden, this is what we got. And we got to make do with it. And there's a kind of a peace that just comes with accepting these five hard truths. So that we're not quite so resentful when difficulties arise. That we're not quite so bent out of shape. Resentful, pouting, angry. There's an old saying that expectations are premeditated resentments. And that's hard to hear. Let me say it again. Expectations are premeditated resentments. So if we come into life with this attitude, life should revolve around me. It should be a bed of roses. I should always make me happy. I should always be pleased and happy and joyful. I got news for you. You're going to be resentful pretty quick. And so the first truth that can set us free and help us just to modify our expectations a bit and give us a kind of a paradoxical peace is simply this truth. Life is hard. It's hard. My father used to say to me, Charlie, he said, things are tough all over. He said, but you better be glad you live in the 20th century. Now we're in the 21st. You better be glad you live in the 20th century, because I got news for you. Back when your grandparents were children and before, I got news for you. Life was brutal and life was short. But still, life can be very difficult. Jesus says here in the gospel today, I am troubled now. I am troubled now. Yet, what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? For it was this very purpose that I came to this hour. He's talking about his crucifixion. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem and to die. And in fact, he's simply saying to himself, this is hard. This is difficult. But nevertheless, this is what is in front of me. The Father has laid out this path for me. And this is my purpose. To come and to offer my life in loving sacrifice and loving service for people that I love. Brothers and sisters, isn't that in a way our own situation? It's not always easy to get up early in the morning when the alarm clock rings. It's not always easy. You know, we can all be in this situation where if the phone rings one more time, and it does ring one more time, and then a second time, and a third time. If there is one more family crisis, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And one more family crisis comes right on in. If there is one more interruption at work, I just don't know what I'm going to do. Again, we need to sort of check some of our resentfulness and simply accept the fact that when we love other people and we want to give our life in service, there's going to be troubles. There's going to be interruptions. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be days that are full. There's going to be times that are busy. Choir, any extra rehearsals right now? But we're getting ready for the great feast days of the year. I heard almost 40 confessions this morning with the children down at the school. Not easy. A lot of work. But good work. As I walked up the street, I kept thinking, I'm troubled now. This is going to be a lot of work. But what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? But this is why I'm here. To reconcile. To preach. To teach. To love. To celebrate sacraments. As you have to go to another rehearsal for one of the kids, or a recital, or a soccer game, I'm troubled now. I would rather sleep in on Saturday morning. Yet what should I say? Father, save me from this hour. But it was for this hour, it was for this purpose that I've come to this world, to bring my children up, to help them advance and to find their way in life. This is my purpose. So again, life is hard. We just need to get used to the fact that it's going to involve a lot of hard work, a lot of efforts, and I do hope that you schedule relaxation and rest into your calendar too. For me, usually 9 o'clock is when I say my day is done as far as work goes. I usually take a 2-mile walk up to the Capitol and back and try to listen to a little something on my iPod and relax and chill. And maybe I'll sit at my desk and catch up on a few things, but at least I know the phone's going to stop ringing for a while, usually. And I'll have a little bit of time to catch up. I don't know about you, but it helps me to get through the day when I've got 4 and 5 meetings lined up and the phone messages just keep coming in. And brothers and sisters, please forgive me if sometimes I don't return a phone call right away. I promise you I'm not twiddling my thumbs. But life is hard. I signed up for this. You signed up for what you signed up for. We simply accept with peace that life can be difficult, that life can be hard. It has its sufferings, its bumps and its grinds, but life also has its joys. It's moments where we can enjoy the fruits of our labor, but there is labor. There is difficulty. So the first truth that will set you free is simply to accept the fact that life can be difficult, that not everything will go my way, that I'm not always able to schedule everything perfectly, that sometimes life comes in multiplications. Sometimes there's quiet times and sometimes there's busy times. But this is life. And that's where we find God, in real life. All the pouting and the resentment is out of place. Now, the second truth. The first truth is life is hard. Second truth, your life is not about you. Your life is not about you. Brothers and sisters, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that you and I exist for the praise of God's glory. As we were singing the opening hymn today, I was thinking coming up the aisle, this is why we were made. To praise God's glory. To rejoice in God's presence. To just acknowledge God's goodness, His holiness, and our relationship with Him. The greatest thing in life is to know the Lord and to praise Him. The old catechism said, God made me to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him in this life and be happy with Him forever. But you see, too often, we just want everything to revolve around us. What I want, when I want it. It's all about me. How come I didn't get praised and somebody else did? How come I didn't get the credit? How come someone else got promoted? What about me? That's always, too often, our preoccupation. And yet, the Lord simply says today, as He's struggling with His own cross that lays in front of Him, He simply cries out, Father, glorify Your name. And a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. And what is the Lord teaching us here? That the Father does glorify His name in us. But we're part of a plan. A part of a plan that God has. Not just for us as ourselves, but for the whole world. Do you know, brothers and sisters, that you and I have been willed by God from all eternity? And that God thought about us? And the thought of our existence occurred to Him, and in love, the Lord said, I do will it. And He made you and me. He created us. But we're part of a bigger picture. We're part of a plan that God has. So that I don't just exist merely for my own sake, but I exist for every one of you. I exist for people I haven't met yet. That when I'm 84 years old, if I make it, I'll meet them. I exist as part of a great and a glorious plan that God has for this world. And you and I all have parts to play. But church, it's bigger than us. Do you see what I'm saying? I didn't say that you weren't precious to God. I just said that there's a bigger picture to look at. And the Lord Jesus Himself acknowledges this. He's troubled. But He says, in the end, what I most want in my life is to simply glorify You by fulfilling the purpose that You've had for me. Just fulfilling the purpose. I love You, Father. And the most precious thing to me is that Your name be lifted up, that Your name be glorified, and that I be able to fulfill the purpose that You have in store for me. So again, the second truth, your life is not about you. Again, life is hard. Your life is not about you. And the third truth, you are not in control. You are not in control. Now, you begin to see how these thoughts, hard as they are, can begin to liberate us. If I just begin to accept that life has its difficulties and that's just part of what I'm going to expect, one day I'll get to go to glory, but for now, I've got some work to do. That's liberating. It's liberating. It's okay that I'm busy and overwhelmed at times. It'll pass. Troubles don't last always. Life can be hard, but in the end, the Lord going to call me home, and there will be sweet rest with the Lord. And likewise, it's liberating to know that my life isn't just about me, that everything doesn't just revolve around me. It's liberating because I begin to see a bigger picture, and I'm less selfish and less greedy. And those things cause great pain in our life, church. Don't underestimate it. When we become thin-skinned and egotistical and greedy, it's a great source of pain in our life. And just to let go and to say, it's not all about me, that is very freeing. And then this one, I am not in control. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, there also my servant will be. And the Father will honor whoever serves me. Now, I'm not in control. Let me just tell you a little story. Back in my mid-30s, I had a nervous breakdown. And I was a week in the hospital, and then a month off to recuperate. And then I went to the psychotherapist, and I began to work. And I remember walking into that psychotherapist's office. He was a priest, a psychotherapist, and I said, Father, I am here because I want to get control over my life again. And I never want to have happen to me what happened to me ever again. And he looked at me and over the top of his glasses. And you know it's not good when they're looking over the top of their glasses. And he said, Charles, you will never, ever be well until you abandon the notion that you are in control. I know you have your plans. I have my plans. But brothers and sisters, you can't even cause your next heartbeat to happen. So have all the plans you want, but just realize they're on very shaky grounds. Because there are so many things that are out of your control that have to take place for all your plans to come to pass. You want to make God laugh? Tell Him your plans. Now you might say, this is very stressful. But in a way, it becomes very unstressful when we finally let go and we say, if it is God's will, I'll see you tomorrow. We begin to relax. Last week, running late for a meeting, I had to get over to another church for a meeting and ran out the back door, and there's a big cement truck in front of the garage, and it's unloading all these bricks and cement. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not in control. I wasn't meant to go to this meeting. I called and apologized. But again, you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? Things come up. I'm not in control. I need to allow God to direct my life. It's a very freeing thing. And I didn't say to you, don't make any plans. I didn't just say, wait for life to happen. But I just said, always remember. The book of James says, why do you say, tomorrow we will do thus and so? When what you should say is, if God wills it, we will do thus and so. And if everything doesn't go my way, if everything doesn't happen just the way I planned it, then it's all right. What happened, happened. I've many times come into this pulpit with plans to say this or plans to say that, and I either overlooked it or forgot, and I sat down, and maybe I wasn't meant to say it. Or maybe I said something that someone really needed to hear rather than just what I wanted to say. So again, we're not in control. We let go of so many of our tendencies to control and manipulate the outcome of everything. We begin to let go and allow things to just unfold in our life. So it is. You are not in control. So, life is hard. Your life is not about you. You are not in control. Here comes the hardest one of all. You are not that important. You see, we need liberation from this, don't we? Our thin little egos, and we're so easily wounded, and what about me, and I want the praise, and we're so easily resentful and bent out of shape, and someone dissed us or didn't pay attention to us or someone didn't return a phone call or didn't, and we're just, you know, and we're just seething inside, and you're not that important. Now, I didn't say that you aren't precious to God, but I want you to know something. God's got a lot of children He's taking care of. Now, this side of the church wants it to be sunny, and this side of the church wants it to rain. Now, what's God to do? Well, I'm the most important. No, you're not. God loves everyone. I didn't say you aren't very precious and personally known to God. But somewhere we got to let our ego kind of come down to size, and we got to realize that I'm part of a bigger picture. God's doing a lot of things, answering a lot of different prayers that are sometimes contradictory. God's working a lot of things out. And likewise, in life, I can't always be first on everybody's attention list. I can't always be the first one to get a phone call returned. I can't always be the first one to get praised or acknowledged. But it's all right. I'm here to serve. I'm here to love. It's not about me. And I'm not that important. God is. And God's plans are most important. Listen to what Jesus says in the gospel today. The crowd heard the Father's voice, and some said it was thunder, and others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come for my sake, but for yours. And now is the time of judgment on this world. The ruler of this world is about to be driven out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw everyone to myself. And he said this indicating the kind of death he was about to die. Jesus is basically saying, I am not that important. I die for you. You are more important at this moment than my physical comfort. I will die in your place. There just comes a time, brothers and sisters, when we have to realize we can't be first in line. We can't be the most important. We can't be the only consideration. Some of us have to make big sacrifices for others. I am not that important. There are men and women who serve this nation in the military. Isn't that really what they're saying? That we who are not are more important, that they are willing to die so that we can live in greater justice, greater security, and greater freedom. We're called to a life of sacrifice, a life of service, a life of love, because sometimes we simply have to acknowledge that the needs of others are more important than merely what I want, my physical comfort, or my list. So, Jesus in effect says, I will be lifted up from the earth on the cross, and when I am, I will draw everyone to myself. I die for you because you're that important. But he also gives us an example. There's a time for us to say, I die, or I serve, or I give away, I sacrifice for you because I am not that important. You and your needs take precedence at this time. The final truth. Here they are again, the first four. Life is hard. Your life is not about you. You are not in control. You are not that important. And finally, you are going to die. You're going to die. This is liberating. Because you see, sometimes we get so worked up about what our 401k looks like, or how big our house is, or whatever, our good looks, whatever. Tomorrow's not promised. Death has a way of putting a lot of things into perspective. Hey man, I'm going to get $1 million and I'm going to be liked by everybody, I'm going to be popular and be famous, and then you die. End of story. Who was the most likely to succeed in your high school class? Most of us who've graduated over 20 years ago don't remember. And were they the most successful? Probably not. Who was the MVP in 1974 for baseball? I don't know. Do you remember? Now, I know there's a few of you who do. Some of you really keep all those statistics in your mind, but you see what I'm saying, brothers and sisters? All the fame, all the glory, all the stuff that this world promises, it does not last. It is gone before you know it. My 403B is down 40% from what it was a year ago. Gone overnight. And I didn't even touch it. Fame, glory, money, wealth. It will die, and you and I will die. There's a lot of perspective that comes with this. And Jesus simply says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. When he talks like that, he means the cross. Amen, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it falls to the earth and dies, it produces abundant fruit. And whoever loves his life in this world, I assure you will lose it, he says. But whoever hates his life to this world will understand what it really means to be alive. I'm paraphrasing there, but you get the point. Now, first of all, he's saying, the brothers and sisters, death is not the worst thing if we love God. In fact, it's the greatest thing. Part of us should long for the day of our death. I can't wait to die and go home and be with God. Now, I know we all have a natural fear of death. But there ought to be a part of us that is so faithful that says, I just can't wait to see you, Lord. And I look forward to the day when I can die and go home and be with you. A grain of wheat, until it is put in the earth and dies to itself, remains just a grain of wheat. But if it falls to the earth and dies, it rises up to a gloriously new life. Are you praying with me in this? And likewise, when he says whoever loves his life in this world, in other words, whoever just clings to this life and hoards it and clings to it, you're going to lose it anyway. But whoever hates his life, and of course, hate here is a Jewish expression, kind of hyperbole. It means whoever keeps these things in perspective and doesn't get too worked up about them and has enough perspective, this is the one who's truly alive. Because you're not that worried about what your income is. You're not worried and anxious about what your 403B or your 401K is like. You're not all that worked up about how big your house is and all that stuff. The wealthier we get, the more anxious we get. Are you praying with me? The Lord says if you cling to that stuff and you're all anxious about it, you're already dead. But if you can see these things in perspective, make use of them as you need, but not get too worked up about fame and glory and stuff, I'm telling you, then you'll really become alive and you really begin to enjoy life. So these truths are meant to liberate us. They're not easy to hear. They're kind of earth-shaking. They rock our world. Life is hard. Get used to it. Hard work is part of life. Your life is not about you. You're not in control. Control is mostly an illusion. You and I control very few things. You're not that important. And you're going to die. Now, I want to bring all this together and try to end on a little bit more of a positive note. But again, I hope you can see that this work we've done in this gospel, we've reflected on this gospel, is meant to, sometimes you've got to do the hard work to enjoy the fruits of it. And sometimes we have to accept the hard and difficult things in life and not get too bent out of shape, but just be sober about them and say it's part of the picture, so that we can really begin to be set free and liberated from all of our hyper-concerns and anxiety and egotism and all the stuff that we get all worked up about that, frankly, is just nothing but a source of problem for us. But then I want to just remind you of something from the second reading. And then an old gospel song comes to mind, as you might imagine. In the days when Jesus Christ was in the flesh, he offered prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. He took his struggles to the Father. Are you praying with me, church? And he heard because of his reverence. Son though he was, he learned and experienced obedience from what he suffered. Now, that's not where the reading ends, church. The reading didn't stop there, right? Now, stay with me now. The next thing it says is, and when he was made perfect, when he experienced these five truths, he became the source of eternal life to everyone who obeys him. And so it is that Jesus was glorified after this cross, after this struggling, after this suffering. And so it is for you and me. If we can learn and experience these five truths, I promise you, they will set you free. Not just the day you die, but even now. Because I'm willing to accept hard work. I'm not all bent out of shape about it. I'm willing to accept that I'm not in control, that I'm not that important. I'm beginning to experience peace already, even as I accept these truths. That one day I'm going to die, and now I see things in better perspective. I'm not all worked up about stuff that's not going to last anyway. I begin to experience freedom and being set free. But I know this, church, one day, I said one day, I'm going to go to a place where life is not hard. Someday, I'm going to go to a place where I can completely let go of any notion of control and just celebrate in the presence of God forever. One of these days. For now, I'm mindful of that old hymn by Charles Tinsley. Harder yet may be the fight, and right may often yield to might. Wickedness a while may reign, and Satan's cause may seem to gain. But there's a God who rules above with hand of power and heart of love. And if I am right, he'll fight my battle. I shall have peace someday. Oh, burdens now may crush me down and disappointments all around and trouble speak and mournful sigh and sorrow through a tear-stained eye. But there's a world where pleasure reigns, and no mourning soul shall roam its plains. And to that land of peace and glory, I want to go someday. I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for me. But this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Oh, there's five truths that'll set you free. They're not easy, but I promise you, if you accept them, peace begins to come, and Jesus will set us free someday. Amen.